Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Micro-X Limited quarterly investor call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kingsley Hall, Chief Executive. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Gaylene. Welcome, everybody. My name is Kingsley Hall. I'm pleased to welcome you all today to Micro-X's quarterly investor call, along with our Chief Operating Officer, Anthony Skeets, and our President of the Americas, Brian Gonzalez, who is joining us from Seattle.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Today, we will be providing listeners with some details on our commercial and technology progress we've made for the quarter ending 30th of September 2023, as outlined in our Appendix 4C filed with the ASX on the 27th of October, before we open up to a question and answer session. Now, before we begin, we would like to remind those on the call that today's call may contain forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. Now, before I start with the many achievements during the quarter, I would like to address our upcoming annual general meeting, which we've announced to the market yesterday afternoon will be moved to Thursday, the 30th of November 2023 at 1 p.m. here at Tonsley. The reason for this move is that we had an oversight in our original notice of meeting sent to all shareholders that was brought to our attention last week. The issue is that we did not include the necessary resolution for shareholders to vote to approve the appointment of BDO as our new auditors. You may recall back on the 15th of June, we announced that as part of our audit rotation policy, we had appointed BDO as our new company auditors, with Grant Thornton having been in the role since our IPO in late 2015. While we announced at the time that we would take this appointment to shareholders, by oversight, we failed to include this in the original notice of meeting. Both the board and I completely agree this sort of oversight is highly regrettable and does not reflect the level of compliance we aim to achieve and the company that we seek to be. So we took the decision to move the AGM so that all shareholders had the full 4 weeks to consider the full package of resolutions, including the appointment of auditors, and vote on them accordingly. We apologise for any confusion, and we would refer shareholders to the Computershare inquiry line if you have any further questions. So to begin, the September quarter was a busy one from both an operational and commercial perspective as we started to implement the key initiatives identified in the operational review and strategy refresh released to the market in August. We now have a far better understanding of our customer needs, the areas we need to improve as a business, and the realistic timing to hit our milestones. Importantly, as a people-driven tech business, the team's responding extremely positively to our realignment of strategy, whether it's walking around the factory in Tonsley, chatting with the development teams here and in Seattle. We have a renewed commercial focus in all of our activities and a more defined roadmap. So when I talk today about our achievements in the September quarter, it's really pleasing to see some of our new strategic initiatives have begun to deliver early success. This included just under $3 million of mobile DR sales and orders, almost all of which will be delivered from our inventory, and the contract for up to $21 million of non-dilutive funding from the Department of Homeland Security, which takes the airport check-in program all the way through to live airport testing. As I'll get onto in a moment, our Argus was another key focus, and with a lot of activity completed by the Argus sales team with the support of our engineering teams, this product is being demonstrated to distributors and customers in the US over the next couple of weeks. The team was here over the past 2 weeks intensively testing the Argus here in Adelaide and putting the system through its paces in a large range of simulated exercises. Turning now to some of the specific activities for the quarter, our mobile DR business showed a pleasing turnaround, generating sales and orders of $2.9 million, which is nearly 80% of all of our revenues from last financial year. As we've said previously, the $6 million of Rover inventory we were holding is too high, and these sales and orders will reduce that inventory significantly. In other words, we are turning our Rover inventory into cash flow. Another key aspect of the quarter was our ability to sell and deliver systems to the government, who are a major potential opportunity as they have different needs and buying behaviours to our traditional hospital and medical customers. We delivered our first rugged military version of the Rover system to the Australian Defence Force for their deployable hospital program. Shortly after that, we secured another government order of Rover systems for $1.5 million, which Prime Minister Albanese announced in Washington last week being part of the $20 million funding package for Ukraine. As the Prime Minister said at the time, we were one of only four vendors selected by the government, each being leading Australian defence technology suppliers. In that case, a key success factor for us was being able to demonstrate a can-do approach to meeting the specifications and the quick timing needs of the customer. And we will continue to build on our commercially nimble approach to winning orders. Over in Europe, we finally received the good news last week that our Rover and Rover Plus systems have received CE marking under the MDR certification, which enables us to start selling units into Europe. This process has been a long and frustrating one with the backlog of other medical devices being reviewed and also COVID lockdowns, but it's the final piece in our regulatory strategy to be able to sell the Rovers in all major markets globally. We're reconnecting with our existing network of distributors in Europe with the aim to be selling shortly. Moving on to Argus, the commercialisation of Argus remains at the top of our priority list, and this quarter we were thrilled with the progress we've made towards that goal as we work our way through the last of our pre-launch refinements. As I mentioned in our quarterly release last week, the team took a demonstration unit back to the US to commence demonstrating to both distributors and customers. Building awareness of Argus and its cutting-edge capabilities in bomb detection is crucial as we move closer to launching the product. In a continued push to build the customer pipeline, the sales team attended several key conferences in the US, including the Eastern National Robot Radio and the Technology Partner Expo. Both gave us another opportunity to get the product in front of military and bomb squad operators. In our checkpoints business, Brian and the team have seamlessly continued their work with the Department of Homeland Security under the contract extension for up to $21 million secured in July. This was an enormous achievement for us as it provides an unrivaled commercialisation partner and fully funds the development work we need to complete to bring a final product through to testing. The team in Seattle is now working towards the next milestones, and importantly, while we have hurdles in the contract, the first $7.25 million of funding is locked in for the next 18 months. This contract extension will run in parallel with the contract we have with the DHS for our baggage scanner, which is a key component of the airport check-in station. We are preparing to deliver two fully functional prototypes of the baggage scanner to DHS in the near term to enable them to commence their testing. Brian, do you perhaps want to give an overview of your recent trip to Australia?
Thank you, Kinsley. I have just returned to Seattle after a two-week trip to Adelaide, where I was working with the team to finish the first miniature baggage screening prototype. Over the past few months, the baggage screening team in Adelaide has worked to solve a number of technical challenges around the simultaneous use of six different X-ray tubes, which are used together in the baggage scanner. This is the first time MicroX has implemented a multiple tube CT imaging system, and the design is truly remarkable. While I was in Adelaide, the team resolved the last of these challenges, and the system is now being finalized for shipment to Seattle in the next few weeks. When the system reaches the Seattle office, we will do final checks there and be ready to ship to DHS when DHS is ready to receive it. As Tinsley mentioned, the second DHS contract has now officially been extended at the end of July to the additional $7.25 million for the next year of work. In this year, the teams in Seattle and Adelaide will work together to deliver the first prototype self-screening module to DHS for testing. This prototype will include an additional baggage screening system along with a millimeter wave system provided by our subcontractor, Voxel Radar. This work has already started and is progressing well. The combination of MicroX's baggage CT and our self-screening checkpoint designs are beginning to capture the attention of the broader airport industry. In September, an article in Forbes magazine was published on the potential impact of MicroX's self-screening concept to airport checkpoints. This article was titled, "Through Airport Security in 30 Seconds, That's the Goal of This New Technology." Following that article, images from the same article were used in a presentation at Future Travel Experience Roundtable discussion on the future of seamless passenger travel. At the discussion, the audience affirmed the idea that some sort of self-screening is the future of airport security. FTE, or Future Travel Experience, is one of the world's largest airport conferences and is attended by many of the major global airlines and airports throughout the world.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I might now ask Anthony if you want to speak to the great progress made on the Brain CT program for stroke diagnosis across the quarter.
Yes, thank you, Kingsley. The Brain CT team continues to make very positive progress on the Australian Stroke Alliance program. We received a Milestone 5 payment of $1.3 million this quarter for completion of the critical design review. It's a key gate in the MRFF program, where subject matter expert review of the development work to date that's in John Topkins-led anti-scatter algorithms in MicroX CT image reconstruction, mechanical, electrical, high-voltage subsystem design, the user interface, control software architecture, and all the proposed integration design for road ambulances, which included extensive work by our partner, the Monash University Health CoLab team, was reviewed and accepted. In addition, work was conducted through the AFA and partners RMIT and the RFDS to review how to integrate into some of the RFDS fixed-wing aircraft. As part of CDR, the development team were able to use a test bench with the first dynamic curve detector prototype from Fujifilm. This is the only detector of this type in the world. And we were able to produce 3D reconstructions of head phantoms. While still requiring further development to improve to a diagnostic level, it represents a really major achievement in technical risk reduction. During the quarter, the team worked closely with the AFA clinical team and the Royal Melbourne Hospital to plan human imaging trials early in the new year, including the definition of a clinical test plan designed to meet peer review standards and regulatory standards, preparation for ethics submissions, and the necessary radiation management license that will be required for the trial. The core technology team at MicroX progressed the design of the new mini-tube. The designs were released, the material procured, ready for first mini-tube builds and manufacturing process development that's occurring now. Similarly, the design of the first potted high-voltage gantry with switching electronics was released, following a number of experiments and trials to minimise the size and weight of the system, and we're now estimating the entire scanner may weigh as low as 75 kilograms. Another pleasing commercial development with the Brain CT was the signing of a Memorandum of Understandings with the Norwegian Air Ambulance Service, who provide emergency services and mobile stroke units by helicopter in Norway, and Matec, a German provider of the FEMO stroke units in Berlin. The intention of both MOUs is to supply preclinical prototype systems for real-world testing and voice-of-the-customer feedback. On a broader operations perspective, during the quarter, we conducted a review across several of our business functions with a view to streamline our team structures and operational processes for improved efficiency. In particular, we implemented a new process for sharing capability and resources across multiple projects with better communication and knowledge sharing across teams. We put in place a new commercial operations process for managing the product lifecycle of our in-market products. This will ensure continuing exceptional support of existing customers, new customers, and importantly, our sales team, as they commence sales activities in Europe for Rover and launch Argus globally. Also during the quarter, we successfully passed our ISO 9001 audit and our ETL electrical safety audit from Intertek, which has included adding a new Rover Plus variant to our portfolio, enabling one of our key distributors, Midlink, to market the Rover Plus. And most significantly, as Kingsley mentioned earlier, we achieved the European MDR compliance for the Rover Plus, allowing us to CE mark the device and sell in Europe and UK markets. This is a really remarkable achievement by the team, one that has had many challenges as the regulator learns how to audit devices against this new legislation, now that we have achieved that success, it has created a solid pathway for us to follow on our future medical devices. I'll now hand back to Kingsley.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. In our corporate activities, we've also been building our external shareholder and industry engagement. This has included roadshows to catch up with shareholders, meet new investors. We've also been active presenting with broker networks. To build our story, we've been featured in a number of news items, and if you haven't seen these, they can be found on our website and social media. One of them, as Brian mentioned earlier, was in the prestigious Forbes magazine in the US, which is a fantastic article demonstrating the capabilities and the potential that technology has. I'll now run everybody through the financial activities for the quarter. As reported in the Appendix 4C, lodged with the ASX on the 27th of October 2023, and the numbers I will be referring to are all in Australian dollars, and in accordance with ASX listing rules, these are not audited. So for the quarter ended 30 September 2023, our headline numbers were receipts from customers, $1.2 million, receipts for project work of $2 million, net operational cash outflows of $3.6 million, resulting in an actual cash balance of $1.3 million at the 30th of September. Now, while the actual cash balance at the quarter end was low, I must stress that we received over $7.2 million in October for amounts which were due at the end of the last quarter. This included $6.2 million from our research and development rebate and $1 million from customer and project receivables. We believe this cash is sufficient moving forward as we've reduced our cost base and have approximately $9 million of cash inflows committed over the next two quarters before any new product sales. This includes the $1.5 million due from Rover orders to the Australian government delivered in October, and there will be income from additional customer orders. So we're carefully managing our balance sheet and financial requirements. Looking ahead, we've got three critical near-term priorities. Firstly, finalising Argus for customer trials in November. Secondly, driving more commercial opportunities with our Rover system, including now in Europe. And thirdly, delivering the two baggage scanner prototypes to the DHS. In the strategy refresh, I set out a short-term scorecard for investors to measure our targets over the next 12 months. And I'm really pleased to report that we've completed or made progress on a vast majority of those KPIs. I'll now pass you back to the operator who will commence the Q&A portion of the call. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before asking your question. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1.
Okay, Gaylene, while we're waiting for questions, we did receive a couple through the investor line prior to the call. So I might just read them out, actually. I might just put the first one to Brian. There's a question, Brian, does the DHS contract extension contain any commitment to buy completed units at the end of the contract?
It's a good question. No, it does not include any commitment to. The contract is solely for the build and delivery, first of one, then of initial two, and then finally three more, to demonstrate a full working lane in an airport. So there's no commitment to buy past that, but it does fund that key demonstration period that sets up for the next phase after that.
Awesome. Thank you. And then the second one was, is MicroX in discussions with any other airport security agencies for similar contracts?
We are not We are in discussion with several airport agencies, but they're all early days. There is no discussion right now to buy yet. The world looks to the TSA to set leadership in this matter.
Awesome. Thank you. And then we had a question regarding Argus Have you received any pre-orders from customer demonstrations that have been undertaken, which I'm happy to answer? The answer is no, we haven't, and specifically the product isn't in the market or hasn't been in the market up and really till this week. Customer and distributor trials are commencing in the first couple of weeks of November, we are very confident that it's that the Argus is going to provide capabilities that don't currently exist. We think it'll be well received by the market. But yes, at this point in time, we've not taken any pre-orders. So we'd be delighted to if any of the demonstrations go that way. Sorry, Gaylene, that was it for the pre-questions that came through on the line. I'm not sure if you just want to perhaps make one more call to the audience, and then we might tidy it up.
Okay, certainly. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. There appear to be no questions at this time, so I'll hand the call back over to Mr. Hall for closing remarks.
Sure, thank you. So thanks once again for your support and for joining us on this investor call. The next 3 months will be critical for MicroX as we continue to drive towards the launch of Argus and build progress in our other development activities. I look forward to speaking with you all again to report on our progress on the January call. Many thanks for listening.
This does conclude your conference call for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.